I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Spoil Movie Reviews on the Black Guy Who Tips Premium Podcast Network. I am your host, Rod. I am joined by the effervescent Karen. What's up?
How y'all doing?
Glad to have you on. And we have a very special guest, friend of the show, voted the most popular guest of 2013, comedian extraordinaire, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me, guys. You know, I wish I could say that to my boss when they asked me to do stuff, you know, extra stuff. I said, you know that I was voted 2013's best guest on the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Do you know who I am?
Right. I'll get the report to you when I feel like it.
Exactly.
Yes, you know how much I wish I could tell my boss. Do you know I'm a businessman?
Mm-hmm. I owns this.
Right.
But, yeah, you can find Chris on the Monday Name Festival podcast. You can also find him on ChrisLambert.com. You can find him on Twitter at Chris Lambert. And he's headlining Caroline's September the 2nd, our wedding anniversary, in New York, New York. The concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
And often destroyed.
And sometimes destroyed. Yeah. Yes. But make sure we're going to keep it positive and we're going to support Chris and help make his dreams come true. That is what we're here for. So, you know, a lot of people, they come on the show, positive things happen for them. So we want to keep Chris going positive in that long tradition. I got Rhonda A. Lee a job.
Wow.
Yeah. She hadn't, black meteorologist, got fired for her hair, did one interview with me, had a job within a week. I'm not saying.
Wow, I heard about that. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Not saying it was all me. I mean, obviously, I don't want to discount her hard work and her career and her professionalism, but come on. Yes. It's not a coincidence,
same,
guys.
Same thing with Ronda Rousey. She breaking records, whooping people's ass so quick as a vine.
Ronda Rousey has never been on our podcast. What are you?
I don't understand.
How is that the same thing at all, Karen?
Not bad. I'm thinking of somebody else then. Did you have an MMA female?
Yeah, it wasn't Ronda Rousey, though.
Oh, my bad.
At any rate.
I got them mixed up, y'all.
This is a review for the film Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Caesar is back. And we are having a party. On Spoil Movie Reviews, this is movie reviews of people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck about spoilers because we spoil everything. Cobra does not die. He is alive at the end, okay? Just looks like he died. See, you should have cut it off. You didn't see the movie, and you didn't think it was going to happen, but it happens every time. We rate the movies on the More Epic Than Love John scale from 0 to 5. 0 being man, fuck you, and 5 being the fuck you waiting for, go see this shit. Let's get into it. We'll keep it very simple. We talk about what we like, what we didn't like, and then we rate this thing, wrap it up with a rating. Let's talk about what we liked about this movie. Oh, no, let's talk about what we didn't like first, I guess. That would probably be shorter, I guess, to do that part, since we all seem to love the movie. Mm-hmm. So, Karen, was there anything you didn't like about Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
Mm-mm.
No, there was nothing Karen didn't like. Mm-hmm. All right. Chris, was there anything about this movie that you didn't like?
Not enough Keri Russell.
Not enough Keri Russell. Okay. She was Ellie, the wife of, I can't even remember the white dude's name. Was it Malcolm?
Ah, God, I don't even know. Because the humans are secondary characters in here.
Yeah.
I was trying to see if I could pull it up on the.
I know, it was Malcolm. Jason Clark played Malcolm, yeah.
Yeah.
And Keri was his wife, well, new wife, right? Or something like that.
Yeah. I heard that they kind of toned down the story between Caesar's wife and Ellie. But, I mean, if you take that away, I mean, it's really, I think that was taken away to just progress the story and make it faster. But there wasn't very much that I was joking about Keri Russell, even though she's a, what I call a hashtag delicate white angel. She gets the vote this year until the new Reese Witherspoon movie, where she helps out these African kids, these Sudanese kids, in a movie. She helps these kids acclimate to America. But until that movie comes out, Carrie Russell has the crown.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan of The Americans and her work on there. So,
yeah,
you probably were pretty excited that she got the part.
Oh yeah, I mean, she's friends with good friends with Matt Reeves, who was one of the creators of Felicity. So it wasn't a surprise that she was on it, but it was just good that she was there and she was helping the apes, you know. And so I dug that she was not a part of the opposition. Mm-hmm. She was helping the main characters, you know. So I dug that.
The only negative I'll say for the movie, I thought that they were a little inconsistent about how much apes could talk and when. Like, sometimes I felt like it didn't make sense why they were talking in English, and sometimes it did. Like, when they were talking to humans, it made a lot of sense, obviously, because humans couldn't understand sign language and shit. But then, like, sometimes they would give long-ass speeches to each other in English, and I'll be like, I don't think they would do that yet, you know? That wasn't a big gripe. It was just a little thing where, like, you know, sometimes it would be like, you know, Caesar is ape, and then you'd be like, okay, cool. And then sometimes, you know, it would be like, you know, a long, you know, like, ape needs freedom and freedom need time, take time. It'd be like, you wouldn't do all that. But, the other thing was, this one didn't make white people as mad because they knew what was coming. So,
I think the first time kind of took for a surprise.
Yeah, so it's not really this movie's fault, because the movie, I think, is as good, if not better, than the first on a lot of levels. But the white people saw this one coming in my theater. And
now, did you purposely go to a white theater to see this?
Yes.
Experience it? Okay. Yes.
Absolutely. We waited, matter of fact. We could have went earlier, and I said, no. we need to go to this showing. I'll wait. I'll just be up late tonight because I got to see this shit. So we saw it with the white folks, and the only reason we really I couldn't get a full taste of the anger because I knew there was an after the credit scene, so I stayed.
Well, I missed it.
It's like I said at the beginning. It's audio of Koba in the debris.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit!
Yeah. But it's just the audio of it. So I could have left if I wanted to, but I went ahead and stayed just to hear it. But I think if I would have left, maybe I could have got a dose of that anger. Cause last time we left, white people was like, man, what the hell was that? Like, the humans didn't even win. I don't get it. So, yeah, this time I missed the anger. So that's the only negative thing I could even think to say. As far as positives, man, I feel like there's so many positives. We'll go around. Maybe we'll each name one thing until we run out.
Okay.
I will start with you, Karen. What is a positive thing that you liked about this movie?
That it wasn't about the humans.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like the fact that the humans were the secondary story. Because going by the name, the story shouldn't be about them. But you know how a lot of people, especially here in America, and especially when you're talking about a lot of white people, they have a tendency to make the story about people, even if the story's not about people. So I like the fact that they were secondary characters. I like the fact that I didn't remember nobody's name, because they weren't important.
Yep.
To the storyline. They was almost like a backdrop. They helped move the story, but they were not the main focus of the story. And I like that they stuck to it, because it's a very bold move, because, like I said, most people have a tendency not to do that because they are afraid of the backlash of the people.
Well, I like that they do enough to make white people think they are the focus of the story for a while.
Yeah.
Because in the theater, you can hear people being like, oh, Gary Oldman, I relate to his pain. And, oh, Malcolm is just trying to figure out how to get power. But all the black people are like, this is all going to tumble down and none of it will matter. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
If you've seen the regular Planet of the Apes movies, which maybe nobody has but me, you know, I admit I'm a bit
they old school.
Bit of a sci-fi nerd sometimes. The humans ain't doing good.
Mm-mm.
So and this is prequel shit. So by the time we make it to actual ape movie, like folklore, you know, where apes are walking around talking like humans and all this shit. Mm-hmm. There's not many humans, and that was the whole point of those movies, is that, you know, this is not, that humans are subjugated. So none of these plans are gonna work. You're not gonna turn the power on. You're not gonna, like, reestablish civilization. Somehow it's gonna get fucked up. So the whole time, I'm like, I can't wait for these humans to get fucked up. And then you could tell other audience members are like, what a compelling performance by Malcolm. And, you know, Dreyfus is such a good, Gary Oldman's portrayal of Dreyfus is so good. And, you know, Carver, if they could just get Carver under control, they would be able to fix everything. And I'm like,
Wait, Rod. You mean George Zimmerman?
Yeah, if they could get Zimmerman under control, they could fix everything. Chris, give me one thing you liked about it.
I really, you know, the last time I did this show, one of the last times we talked about Hunger Games, and I feel like this movie, this franchise, along with Hunger Games, is the two of the most socially relevant films, and I felt with this series, with this movie, I just really felt like it had just as much. It was evocative of so many things, but it was just like so many themes that we're dealing with now. And I felt like it was just as compelling as 12 Years a Slave. Like, mm-hmm. I'm being a little facetious, but then I'm not. Mm-hmm. Like, just like emotionally, like how you would feel for, it's hard to separate Rise from Dawn because mm-hmm. Caesar's such a compelling character, but just, man, it was like Shakespearean aspects to it, like Caesar obviously being Caesar, Cova being like Cassius / Iago. He had a little bit of Lion King in it, and it was just, I was just totally invested in the story of all of the apes, and I could really feel for Cova, like that human work scene. What the? Are you serious?
Yes.
Like, oh my God. Like,
Kobe was just pointing to his injuries and going, human work. Like, dude,
I'm getting emotional thinking about it now. Like, it's like, I'm not lying. Like, it's wow.
A thing that worked for me, Kobe Bryant, dog. Kobe being Bryant. That dude was my motherfucking he was my spirit animal, dude, because he had seen the heel of humanity, and Caesar had seen mostly kindness from humanity.
Like, yeah,
even in the first movie, one of the things that's great about it is it's almost I feel like we'll probably make all kinds of allegories tonight to slavery and shit, but
yeah,
it was almost like watching a house slave, quote unquote, or a kept Negro or somehow like
mm-hmm.
become aware of the treacherousness and savagery of like white people to a certain extent, where he's like, wait a minute, this slavery thing ain't, everybody's not being treated like me. That was kind of how, like, watching Caesar gain sentience and, like, become aware of humanity. Like,
mm-hmm.
that yeah. was what made the first movie so compelling, is this idea of, like, we're not actually equals, are we? As opposed to this movie where Koba was like, you know, I've only seen the bad things of humanity. The good things that I've seen are all from Caesar and other apes. So we, you know, I don't trust humanity. And anytime we get a chance to knock them down, wipe them out, we need to do that. And the only reason he was happy was because humanity was gone until, uh-huh. you know, like basically this is them rediscovering that humans are still out there for the apes. And that was when Kobe was like, you know, it caused Kobe to, you know, go off. But the acting for Kobe was so great. Like, if I don't know if Andy Serkis plays all the monkeys or whatever the fuck, but this is the first time I would switch from saying Andy Serkis needs the Oscar to the dude who played Kobe needs the Oscar, because he was a goddamn beast.
Well, you know what? Like, I think there, Andy Serkis and then the other guy that played Kobe, Toby Cabell, mm-hmm. like that, God, what's wrong with me? What you just said even reminded me of like a Booker T, W.E.B. Du Bois type thing, mm-hmm. Magneto, Dr. Xavier, you know, like people that had like different paths to the same mountaintop. And it was the scene, the most powerful scene to me, was when Kova goes into the armory and he coons it up. Yes. So they think that I was just like, are you that, that might have been some of the scariest shit that I've seen in a movie in quite some time.
Yeah, right. Well, because at that point, the audience knows how dangerous Kova can be. Mm-hmm. And even though I saw it in the previews, they do such a good job of building up the tensity in that, like making it so intense, then the tension mm-hmm. in there, that like when it happens, I still was a little bit like, oh, that's right. I forgot I saw this already. You know what I mean? Because like he starts doing that cooning and laughing and shit, and you're like, oh, I know he's still dangerous. And these motherfuckers had that reaction like, oh, look at him. He's dancing. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to give him something to eat? Give him something to drink, man. Go ahead. And you're just like, oh, my God, he is going to kill the fuck out of y'all. And he did.
It was so like, I was like, holy shit.
And his face was great. Like mm-hmm. after he pulled the trigger, that face he makes of disgust. Like, mm-hmm. Like he just shoots them, and then the other dude begs, and then he shoots his ass too, and then he's like, let's go get the weapons, fellas. Like, he was a beast, man. Kova carried a lot of that movie to me, man. And, you know, watching him kind of like ascend to leadership in all the negative ways that, that he learned from humanity. Like, if Caesar is like the protagonist in this movie, then I feel like, my man Kova is the karmic equivalent of what humanity actually is and them getting their comeuppance in how they treat, the world even, you know, like this is ours to do whatever the fuck we want to further ourselves. And we don't care about anything else and how it affects anyone. It's all about us. And I think Kova has adopted, he learned the most from humanity, in my opinion, and Caesar is still, you know, learning. Like, he's trying to be better than humanity even.
Right. Yeah, I think the Karen was going to say something.
No, I'm just agreeing with Roderick.
Oh, I feel like Caesar, God, he had the most, I want to say that he had to deal with a lot because he had this view of, you know, apes are better than humans because I've seen all of that. Mm-hmm. And then he's looking at how Kova acts and how, you know, everybody, you know, they're killing their own. They say ape doesn't kill ape. And so he has that struggle. And I really need to see this again. But what did you think about the look that Caesar had at the end of the movie? Like the last, what did you think that was like? Was it fear? Was it just like, this is going to be some shit? Or...
Yeah, it looked more like resolve and determination, and like he learned a lesson mm-hmm. that all apes weren't necessarily good, right. But kind of like heavy is the head that wears a crown, and the next challenge was going to be like he was finally the leader, quote unquote, that he needed to be, because I felt like before he was still kind of soft to say, you know, to... Not as a diss, but like as a like you would hope it, like how Obama is soft, like like he needs, like I like him being quote unquote soft because I don't want just an iron fisted dictator in office. But he had this moment at the end where they zoomed in on his face, and I just felt like, okay, no more fucking around. He's ready to throw down, because the next challenge, it sounds like it's gonna be the military. And that ain't gonna be that's gonna be a war. That won't be, you know, no more this this living in the jungle isolated by ourselves shit. They're probably gonna end up wiping out humanity or something worse.
Because what the movie reminded me of, like after things sort of settled down with that first action scene with the bear, it was just sort of like how everything's chill when you're playing an RPG.
Yeah.
Like, it's like everything's nice. And then the white people come in, you get the battle music. Mm-hmm. And it's just like one of the, like, it was fine. Like, they were like, oh, it's been what, 9-10 winters since we've seen the humans, and everything was pretty much okay.
Yeah.
And you could see the boiling over with Koba. And, you know, they fought a couple. How many times did they fight before they two or three times?
Two or three. I think two times.
Okay, two times. Yeah. And it was just like, you could see him kind of seething in the background a little bit. And he was a worthy, I don't know if you say foil, if that's the right thing,
foe.
What'd you say?
Foe, F-O-E.
I was thinking like foil or foe, but he was a good antagonist. That was a good yin and yang where I understood both of where they were coming from. And if you can't feel anything for Koba, then you got to ask yourself, are you really human?
Yeah. You know, well, I mean, they did a good job of illustrating, making him a sympathetic person, not just a treacherous bad guy, but like,
yeah,
you know. And even Caesar expressed that he cared, you know, when he was explaining to his son, he was like, hey, Koba has only seen bad shit. So his relationship with humanity is totally different than mine. Mm-hmm. And that's why he has no trust in his heart. Karen, can you anything else you want to add for positives?
Yes. Caesar's faces, his faces and the way the camera angles, it was like, it was a lot of, there's no words that need to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever they shot his face, especially when Koba tried to challenge him the first time, he rose up and made his shoulders broad. It's almost like he stood up 8 feet tall, like, nigga, what?
Yeah. And Andy Serkis, just deserves all the praise. Cause he makes you believe that he's a fucking ape, man. Like, you believe he's a monkey, dog. Like, just that little shit that he's doing where you're just like, damn, dog, that is how, like, a monkey would do. Like, that.
Right.
Like, how he went from completely cool to, like you said, standing as tall as he could, broadening his shoulder. It felt like a whole, like, a linebacker popped out of his body.
Out of nowhere, too.
For a second, was like, nigga, you not gonna step up to me. Like that. And even like in the scenes where like his baby, got a hold of that shotgun.
Yeah.
And he like knocks everybody on the ground, like towers over him and like all that shit. You're right. Yeah. That all his faces, all the animation was great.
Right. Because I think they did a very, very good job at, he emotes very, very well through his face.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where, like, even when his wife got sick, he didn't say a word, but when he turned around, his eyes was red and full of tears, and he looked at them like, oh, I don't want my wife to die. Like, you felt that pain. You know, it was just something about the emotions he emoted, and it just made me have a better, it drew me, I'm already a fan of Caesar, but it just made the gave the character more depth in my mind versus the first time you seen it, but it wasn't the same because the interactions were a little different.
Yeah. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I just think Andy Serkis, again, he just, like, I've joked on Twitter that, like, he should win a BET award and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really challenging this medium, I guess, what do you call it, the art form of CGI, and making it something that I really think the Academy and the all the other acting award people should really pay attention to, because it's something that's he's really challenging that medium to make it, like, it's real. I'm feeling like emotions when I'm watching this guy and this ape, like, that I haven't felt for some regular actors on film.
Yeah, he should, like, I feel like he's going to get nominated for, like, he's going to get a Lifetime Achievement Award at some point.
Yeah, I was talking to J.L. Covan about that, like, just, because I had watched the week before I saw Dawn, I bought the film at Target, I bought the Blu-ray, and I just marveled how great it was, because initially I didn't want to see it, you know, I was like, man, this ain't nothing but, like, Miss Evers Boys too. They injecting these apes with this serum and shit. And then like I finally went to see the movie, and I was just like, I was moved by it. And, it's really powerful, man. Like,
well, it shows an understanding, I think, of what subjugation means and what, mm-hmm. what freedom is about that a lot of movies just don't seem to have the wherewithal to be able to, you know, to explore.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that you just, I can't give it enough credit to, Matt Reeves as a director and, the entire writing staff. Cause mm-hmm. they get it, you know, it's just like, you know, it's very rare when you just watch a movie and you went, man, these motherfuckers understand everything. Like the little touches, like, one of the things I like about this one, the scale of this movie compared to the first, it feels like a sequel. It's like The Dark Knight Rises to Batman Begins mm-hmm. because the scale, especially once you look at once they start taking over and some of the symbolism in political prisoners, the first time an ape kills another ape in front of everybody, you know, when Cobra kills Rocket.
Yeah.
Because Rocket wouldn't take his order and kill the human. Like that, those moments are so big, you know, the betrayal, plotting to get the guns, like they're like the, even the battle that huge battle with the explosion and the humans think, oh, we have guns, and their arrogance and overconfidence pretty much undoes them right away. But that huge battle, there's a tank, there's like all this shit there. And, And like that scale makes the movie even better because they're not trying to repeat the first one, which is at this point feels almost like a character study. And this joint feels like, you know, an epic event. So, you know, scale mattered to me.
Yeah, I saw it in 3D and, it was pretty powerful. I mean, I think they said like it was sort of, they shot it on location, and so it wasn't like a contrived 3D just so we can make extra money. It's like they're gonna get your money, but it was done really well. And it just it was just pretty, it was epic. It was like Empire Strikes Back, like you said, Dark Knight. It was very complex film for it to be a summer movie.
Yeah, they put a lot of thought into it, you know.
Yes.
And very understated small things, like, you know, them, the tribe and their war paint and their, the way that they hunted at the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
Even the way they took that bear out, you know, and the, you know, the fact that they had contingency plans and, you know, I mean, it was just really smooth without like hitting you in the head with it. You know what I mean? Just like, okay, here's a smooth way to illustrate what we're trying to do here. Karen, another thing that worked for you?
Caesar's love for his people. That was outstanding. And just me being black, because I've always looked at the apes as black people. I'm just gonna keep it real. I thought, you know,
you are pretty racist, and so that wouldn't make sense.
And to me, it's like humanity is oppressing them, you know, just the way they talked about them, like they were just other, and there was no way they could have any form of intelligence. There's no way they could communicate with us, you know, and just the hatred that a lot of people had. And the thing about it, some people didn't have that hatred, but a lot of them did. So his love for his people, and I think that's why the conflict between him and Cobra was so strong to me, because he was trying to explain to Cobra, I understand you want to fight, but how many of my people will die in this process? And that's something that Cobra couldn't see because he was too blinded by his rage and his vengeance and him wanting to get back, that he couldn't see the whole picture. And Caesar was like, it's more than just fighting, dog. Like, if we fight, apes are gonna die too. And just his love for his people and the understanding of what going to war really was.
Yeah, even his interaction with the humans, because it wasn't like he was a pushover. Let me see if I can play this clip, but there was like this one clip, this one segment where he told the humans to get the fuck out when they were trying to fix the power plant shit, and he was like, y'all gotta go. And that shit was so powerful, because up until that moment you could tell he had tried to make it work. Actually, this is the first clip. This is the one where they rolled up in there and pulled guns on them after they shot the apes. Zimmerman style.
Yeah.
And he told him to get the fuck out.
Right.
But yeah, there's another scene too where like his son finds that shotgun and anything could have happened. He had told him not to have any weapons.
Right. It was the same person.
Yeah. And he was like, yep, y'all got to get the fuck out. Like I gave y'all a chance. Everyone thinks I'm soft now for giving you a chance. So you got to go. So yeah, just the complex way that Caesar viewed the world was just, yeah, it was dope. Chris, another positive thing to add or?
Well, just, I mean, it's kind of echoing what we've been saying the whole time. It's just like the care and the characters. One thing I heard on the Slash Filmcast when they reviewed it, now I don't know if this is true or not, but they said when Matt Reeves took over, the original focus was on the humans. Oh, fuck. My I'm sorry, guys. My virus thing. Anyway, when he took over, the story was supposed to be originally about the humans reacting towards the apes, and he changed that whole thing. And I thought that was perfect. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you would, if a movie about apes, you're talking about how the humans, who gives a shit?
Yeah, that was a bad idea from the beginning. Then who watched the first movie and was like, let's totally do this differently.
Right. And so it's just like, I think Matt Reeves, him dealing, being a part of Felicity. I know your people are going to laugh, and I'm only giving myself more, opening myself up more for people to make fun of me. But the one thing that I liked about that show and what J.J. Abrams and the people in his camp do, they make you care about their characters. And I think this is like, and when they're in a perilous situation, you feel for them and you care. Like I saw the last movie that he directed, Let Me In, which is the remake to Let the Right One In, and it was some of those same themes about really caring about the protagonist and really having like a visceral emotional connection to the character. Same in Cloverfield too.
Yeah. All right. Well, for me, another positive, Carver, the portrayal of Carver was so good.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, sleep on the idea of having a really bad person, you know, in a movie. It's very hard to be that guy.
Yeah.
But Kirk Acevedo completely made me hate him. Like, if I see him in real life, like, you know what I mean? Like, even if he's not playing the character, if I see him like at a bar, I'm gonna come up to him and be like, "Why'd you fuck up the world, dog? Like, everybody had a chance. You couldn't turn your racism off long enough,
right?
You know, like he was, you know, kind of like the Fox News comment section of the movie."
Yeah.
You know, that point where they were like, they were just talking about how messed up the situation was. He's like, "Well, we might catch something being around the apes." And she was like, and, Ellie was like, we're all immune now, so we should be fine. And, you know, he was like, "Well, I mean, they killed off all the humans." And then she just like factually was like, "Well, actually, it was, you know, well, actually, Twitter hashtag, she was, you know, there was actually a virus that was started because we were experimenting on the apes, and that's the reason that we got killed and all this shit." And
yeah,
he's like, "Fuck that. Y'all really gonna go for this?" It's like, like, damn, dog, you don't care about facts at all.
Nope.
And I believed him, dog.
Right. Cause that's like, how dumb people are.
Yeah. When he died, I knew it was part of Cobra's plan, and I still was like, "I don't care. I just want him to suffer and die."
Yeah, because I felt the same way. I was like, they got that motherfucker. Like, he has to go back. Cobra has to go back and get him. They build Gary Oldman to be the big human villain, but he wasn't.
Nope.
He was, because when you watch the commercial, he's like, "They're animals!"
Yep.
And it was like, okay, he's racist, obviously. You're going to get excited about... I was kind of, when we talked about what we didn't like, it was sort of like, wow, I was missing Gary Oldman's racism.
Mm-hmm.
But Kirk Acevedo was really the guy who had that role.
Yeah, he did. And I did kind of like, the thing is, when Gary Oldman did say something racist, I totally bought it.
Yeah.
You know, because he's such a good actor and because, you know, he might believe it in real life after reading that article. But it was like, it worked for me, all of his parts. But yeah, you're right. He, another example of a bad guy, quote unquote, that has a lot of background. Because when they show him staring at his family's pictures and shit, part of you can't help, because he's such a good actor, being like, damn, he lost everything.
That's all you need. Like Karen said, like, even with the apes, they didn't have to say much. Mm-hmm. All it was this scene. Oh, look, this is my oh, fuck, my family's gone. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Start crying like shit, dog. He was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What else? Karen, something else to add?
Yes. One of my favorite, scenes was when, everything went down and Caesar got shot and everything was just going to hell. And that ape looked at them and he just said, run. It was almost like all these niggas at a house party, some white folks there, and some shit crack off that they might not be aware of that's gonna make niggas mad. And he just turned because he cares about you and just be like, y'all got to go run. Yep. I don't care what you do. Right now is not the time to keep your ass here.
Yeah, that was Maurice. Maurice will be looking out for folks, man.
Right. And that's because, and that shows the compassion that he has in his heart for humans too. So it was just one of those things where, to me, it goes to show, which is hard for people to explain, that just because people are from different species doesn't mean that they hate the other group. And so it just showed his compassion, because he was like, y'all don't really see what's going on. These are my people. I'm going to give y'all a head start. They ain't going to hurt me, but they're going to kill you if they get a hold of you.
Well, Maurice hadn't always seen the downside of humanity, and also even from the first movie, he had been around Caesar.
Right.
And he knew if something happened to Caesar, they weren't going to have that same leadership element. So yeah, he definitely got him out of there. Speaking of which, a thing that worked for me, and you know, maybe it sounds racist, I don't know, but everybody knows I'm a huge sucker for black fatherhood moments.
Mm-hmm.
And, Caesar had a whole lot of them in this joint. He had to join with the baby and the gun. Then he had to join where his son was like becoming wayward and not listening to him and thinking that Koba had the right answers. And then that scene where he had to tell his son basically like, your hero shot me.
Right.
Uh-huh. And, you know, his son just almost didn't know what to do with that because he was so overwhelmed from the entire, you know, ape takeover and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he was even then, Caesar was above it all by being like, it's my fault.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I thought that I could trust Koba because apes are better than humans, but we're not. You know, there's some good and there's some bad. And, you know, I had a blind spot to this dude because I was just loyal to the idea that we were all going to be, you know, friends together as apes, and we would work it out because we just had a better system than humanity did. And we don't have that. So, yeah, that was pretty dope, man. Chris, anything else to add?
I think that's all I got.
All right.
I agree with you, all you guys.
My last thing to add then would be the soundtrack. It was fucking epic.
Mm. Yeah.
The music and all that shit.
Yes.
Like, just the musical notes, like, you know, when I was playing that clip, you know, like Chris said, humans come and all of a sudden there's war music and all this stuff. And then in other scenes where it's just the apes chilling, it's like this kind of, you know, like nice music, you know,
it's like Endor, like the Ewoks. Right?
Yes. You're like, oh, look at this. Isn't this nice? You know, they might break into a song at some point. But then humanity comes up and it's like it's all that shit, and it fit with the movie so perfectly. You know, and it's just so well done. Nick Jew, who's from that area, did say that the scale of the city and shit wasn't right, but you know, I'm not from there, so I was okay with it, you know? It was one of those things where, like, when they filmed Juana Man in Charlotte, I was like, that shit ain't even over there by South Park Mall. But, you
when
know.
They
but nobody else in the world would know that, so I can't be mad. So, I I didn't notice the shit, but she did. So, you know, if, you know, I'm assuming that it didn't make sense, but, yeah, I really enjoyed this joint, man. I was very impressed, man.
I was too. I got
anything else, Karen?
Yes. I wanted to, there's several things. Number one, I like the sign language. The sign language among the apes. I thought that was really, really a neat form of communication among them.
Mm-hmm. It also does show Caesar's leadership even more, because that definitely means that he taught some of them sign language.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because not all of them knew it in the last movie.
Which before they didn't have that form of communication. And also, I like the fact that when we was talking about before how Caesar got angry, told them to go, and didn't he tell them to go? No, when they first was there and he told them to go, when they first showed up,
yeah,
how they was like, we need to show our dominance. And he was like, we are. And them niggas rode up.
They rode horses.
Horses.
Uh-huh.
Galloped up in there and was like, we don't want to fight. Mm-hmm. We don't want no war. But if y'all force us, we will whoop your ass. We just let you know.
Well, he pointed to they shit and was like, human, home. And he pointed to the ape shit and was like, ape, home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, nigga, y'all might want to leave it alone.
Right.
I just couldn't understand, like, Gary Oldman's character is very interesting, because Gary Oldman's character goes from, I don't believe y'all, wasn't no fucking apes talking, how the fuck did that happen?
Dude,
to seeing it himself and still being like, we can take them. No. No, that's not how that works.
Was there a scene where they were like, they can't read, or was it they can't speak? Well, some shit like that.
Yeah, it was something, what was
fucking
it?
Dirty monkey.
Yeah, it was some like low key, like they're not intellectually on par with us,
right?
Moment where you like, I can't wait for that to come back to bite y'all. And when them niggas showed up with guns and shit, he was so pressed in this movie, because like, soon as they showed up with guns, that's the time where you're like, okay, this is way above what we thought,
right?
Yes. Like, they somehow covertly raided our armory, mm-hmm, and at that point is the point where you go, these aren't apes, let's get our shit and go. But instead, he was like, we can still take them. They're animals. They're just animals. I was like, this nigga gonna die.
What did y'all think? And I need to see this again, about that tank shot, like that tracking shot.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they were comparing that to that, shot from True Detective with all that stuff going on.
Yeah, it was dope. I was awed when it happened. Mm-hmm. That, like, the entire battle scene, like, when I was talking about scale and scope,
yeah,
those were the moments where I was like, this is so much bigger than the first movie.
Yes.
You know, like that, cause that moment didn't happen like to end the movie.
Mm-mm.
Cause like the bridge fight happened to end the first movie, and that scope and scale was ridiculous too.
But
the way it happened in this joint, I was just like, wow, I can't believe we're only, you know, an hour in and we're getting this scene. And then you have that huge tower fight.
Yes.
And like the realization of the other apes that, matter of fact, let me gush all over this for a second. My man Caesar was an impossible white man.
Mm-hmm.
In that last scene.
You giving that to him?
Cause dog.
He's not black to you?
It's not impossible white. No, first of all, you can be black and be impossible white man. That's you can be a woman.
I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah, it's a genre. It's not a, it's a certain type of character. not an actual like race or color, mm-hmm, or gender. So he was such an impossible white man in that last scene. Not the whole movie, and the whole movie's not impossible white man, mm-hmm, at all, but just the last like cliche, I'm hurt, I just got shot, I'm overcoming it with the will of because my people need me and the people I care about are in danger, I'm gonna climb this tower and fight the fair one with this dude who's heavily armed.
Right.
While I come in with no weapon.
Just got out of surgery.
Yeah, I'm gonna beat his ass. And it even had the cliche impossible white man moment of, help me up, brother. Yeah. You know, like, it was so good, man. Oh, my God,
He had the juice. He was Omar Epps.
He did, dog. And I think you know, talking about that last face he made or whatever, I think that face was the realization of like, it's like all out war. Like he lost something there and, and it'll never be the same. Like he knows they can never go back to apes just getting along. Even apes are going to have, you know, a different agendas than his from now on. So like it just, what a great movie.
And and also I think for me, I like the background story of Caesar. I liked how he took them to the old house.
Yeah.
Like, cause I didn't know that's where they was taking them. I was like, oh shit. I was like, this is their house. And they went through that. And then so it kind of tied back in, the previous, story, which I, really liked. And also when they went to war, not only did it show the human casualty of war, it showed the ape casualty of war because people that didn't agree with Coba was actually locked up in a bus.
Yeah, the apes that didn't.
Apes didn't agree. Yeah. So that also showed that it might be more to it. And my last thing I wanted to talk about, and maybe this is just me, I think the ending, near the end, where Caesar looks at the human dude, and human look at him, and he told him he need to go.
Yes.
And how he turns around and he's gone. I think that's kind of a foreshadow that the humans are eventually going to disappear, and just for the fact that Caesar's interaction with them is going to be very different next time.
Yeah. I agree too, Karen. Yeah, I think that was, I'm glad you brought that up. I think that was also his way of being like, y'all not welcome around here no more. Cause this shit happened cause of y'all. You know what I mean? Like y'all say, like you and your family get a reprieve cause y'all saved my life.
Right.
But in general, you guys are an afterthought. Like we run this shit now. And, you know, if there's going to be a war, we're going to take down those motherfuckers too. Like I wouldn't be surprised if the next movie is like War for the Planet of the Apes or something like that. But what I'm going to be interested in is if they take it to the point where it was, with the old films, is there going to be a point where apes are walking around talking and shit? Because I wonder if audiences will check out at that point when the apes are actually using complete English sentences and, you know, wearing clothes and shit like that, where people be like, fuck this. You know, I'm
wearing Jordans. And
yeah. the ape problems are so complex. It's like ape, same sex, marriage.
Ape running for Congress. Vote for me.
Yeah. Ape, no marry man, ape. That
should be greatness.
Yeah. I would watch it, but it would be pretty comical at that point.
Oh shit.
If they get they start having the problems that we having and shit.
Right. They but ape have no right to choice.
Yeah.
See, ape don't do $200 dates.
Caesar no have long form birth certificate.
Ape use Groupon, it's okay.
Yeah, ape women to start having ape women rights and shit.
Right.
Like, I think people will, there is gonna be a level where humans will check, where the audience will check the fuck out.
Yeah.
So I feel like we got maybe one more movie, possibly two.
Yeah, at the max.
At the most, before people are like, oh, that's right. The idea of Planet of the Apes is actually pretty bad. Like I remember watching those movies with Charlton Heston and shit and being like, this is not good necessarily. Right.
Well, a lot of people rave about the movies, about how good they are and stuff like
not,
that.
They're not really good. They're not. I say that as somebody who watched those movies with Charlton Heston. They're not really good, guys.
They're
so
over the top and kind of corny.
I mean, the makeup is bad.
Right, because I remember
and the dialogue is terrible, and the apes all like the whole thing is just supposed to be like, they're apes. I can't believe they're talking. But like they talk so good that it's beyond, you know, like these apes are still kind of apes. And then the ones in the Planet of the Apes, the old ones are all like English, like British accents and stuff.
Right. So they going to have humans as pets then? They going to completely reverse the roles?
That what they did in those movies.
Okay.
I just think I'm checking out before we get there. Is all I'm saying. Like,
and you know,
Yeah.
The first time I see a preview where an ape has a human on a leash and is like making jokes and talking in perfect English, I'm out. So, all right, let's rate this bad boy, man, from 0 to 5 on the more epic than Love Jones scale. Karen,
I really, really, really like this movie, and I really, really, really like the first one. So I'm gonna give it a 6 out of 5 Chris tears.
And what about you, Chris?
This is kind of tough because I was thinking about this when you asked me to do it. Mm-hmm. Is it really more epic than Love Jones if the soundtrack didn't have Kenny Lattimore on it? Because Love Jones had a Kenny Lattimore record, a Lauryn Hill record, and it's like, but I'm going to still give it a 5.
Yeah, we didn't say more epic than Love Jones soundtrack, or else we wouldn't even be able to do this show.
Right.
Okay, all right, all right. We go. We'll do it.
Every movie would get a 0. that soundtrack is good, man.
It is.
So good, man.
A lot of sex. Yeah, I have to give this a 6 out of 5 Kev tears, because they just hit all the moments that I love about, you know, these stories of breaking oppression and dealing with the treacherousness of humanity. There were a couple things I would have liked to see, you know, that I don't think they got around to. Like, I loved how they showed like what the new family for humanity was.
Yeah.
You know, and I love how they gave white people hope that somehow this would be about the humans and just pulled the rug from under them with like 30 minutes to go. You know, all that shit was cool, but, yeah, I, you know, everything positive just far outweighs all the negatives. And, I can't wait to see another one of these. So,
But can I say one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys fearful for the black people in this movie or no? Did your love for the apes just kind of wipe out?
Yeah.
You just thought,
yeah, black people in this movie. Like, one of the best things about this movie is it makes races equal.
Right.
By making it apes against people.
And that's how I feel.
So like, I only see people or ape. I no longer, like, one of the things I think they missed on with this, no offense to, you know, the writers and shit, but they should have had family units of mixed races. Like that was one thing that they really missed. Like, if Malcolm, like, if Ellie would have been played by a black actress, no offense to Kerry Russell, but if she would have been like Kerry Washington, that shit would have went to a whole new level of like, wow, these people are so fucking aware of, you know, just racial politics, and that's one of the things that makes this movie good.
That's true. That's a good point.
But I saw the rating.
Can I change my rating to 6? I didn't know we could go that high.
Yeah, yeah, man, hell yeah. And plus, the brother that was in it was good.
Yeah,
like, he was basically the voice of the audience, because everything he did was like that moment where he escorts Carver the fuck out of there is exactly what every person was like, get this motherfucker if they don't get him. And he like, he carries him like when Uncle Phil used to kick Jazzy Jeff out of the house.
Right.
Like, he's just like, get your ass out of here. And like, my man Carver's complaining the whole way. He's like, shut the fuck up, get in the truck, damn, just stay there. Slams the door on him, like,
took the keys, but like, just stay your ass here.
Yeah,
like, we gonna all die because your stupid ass.
Yeah, but yeah, so many quotables, man. Cobra and Caesar bars, ape not kill apes, and then Caesar say, you are no ape, and dropped his ass.
Yeah.
Y'all make me want to see this again, man. I might have to go see this again. Man.
Cobra called Caesar weak, and then Caesar said Cobra weaker.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, it had a lot. Like, because they don't go on long jigs of talking.
Yes.
Like, everything got that oomph after it.
That's true.
Hey, together, stronger. You're like, yeah, get them. they sound like black preachers, dog. Like, amen. Wow. That's all we need after that, man. But all right, man. Check out Chris, Mundane Festival, Chris Lambert on Twitter, ChrisLambert.com, and headlining Caroline's in a little over a month from now, September the 2nd. So if you're in the New York area, I know a lot of our listeners are up there. Go check them out, man. Tell them we sent you. We'll be back with another movie review soon. Until then, peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in the act forever.
My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.
life's like a movie.